Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. The title of the message today is Fulfilled, Proclaimed. And you may not understand why I chose that title for today's sermon, but hopefully you will by the time I finish with my introduction. Matthew 28:16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we're thankful for your word. And we're thankful for Jesus Christ, who is the whole point of your word and that we are seeing in this text. God, we're thankful that we, through this text, learn about you and see what you desire for us to do. I pray that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts to receive your word. And God, I pray also that you'll help us to confess our sins. We know that your word tells us that our sin separates between you and us. And I pray, God, that we will confess our sins so that we can find forgiveness of sins and to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. So we thank you for your word today, and I pray that you will meet to us together as we worship you in spirit and truth. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. September the 27th, 2020, we began this journey through the book of Matthew. And in that first introduction, I mentioned that through this study, we would gain a perspective on the one who we are following. I challenged us to understand the value of knowing Jesus. I discussed why it was important for us to study the Gospel of Matthew instead of one of the other Gospels. And that reason was is because in the book of Matthew, we see the institution of the church. And also, we highlighted the fact that it's God's plan in the church is God's plan for disciples and discipleship. And then also in the book of Matthew, you have the most popular rendering of the Great Commission. And when I discussed the commission on that day, I mentioned the church is to make disciples. Then the disciples build the church, and then they sustain the church. And today we're going to look at that commission as kind of the final chapter, the final message. Some interesting things that I stated in that first message is we mentioned how Matthew 1:21 or 1:22, that it might be fulfilled, which was written, was spoken 16 times throughout the book of Matthew. And we've tried to focus on that. This is how Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament scriptures, looking forward to the Messiah. I also mentioned I didn't know how long it would take us to get through the book of Matthew, but today I know. It took us 26 months, and this is the 100th sermon in the book of Matthew. And so as we walk through the book of Matthew, we have looked at what Jesus said, what he did, and what he accomplished. And we learned about Jesus, and we should understand, because as we have learned about Jesus, that this is who I'm following. I'm following the Messiah King. The title of that first message was Fulfilled, How I Love to Proclaim It. Well, after 100 messages, we have done just that. We have proclaimed the life of Jesus before you. And so we have proclaimed it, that he has fulfilled all that was spoken of him. Jesus is no doubt the Jewish Messiah, and he is worthy of our following him. But one last thing to consider today is, as we read in the Great Commission, the commission of the church to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or as it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And so we want to understand, as I said, we learned that in the book of Matthew, why we studied the book of Matthew was because of the church and how Jesus mentions the church. And he says in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we recognize in the book of Matthew that Jesus is preparing for the future by building his church so his church could carry on the work that he had given them to do. Now, throughout his entire life, he's been doing that. He's been preparing the 12 apostles to be the foundation of the church so that they could move forward and carry on his ministry. And so all of his life and all of his teaching, he was preparing the 11 for the time when he would depart, because he told them in John 16:7 that he would go away. And if he went away, though, he would not leave them comfortless. He would send the Holy Spirit to comfort them. And so we understand that Jesus is building the church in the book of Matthew. And we recognize that's exactly what he did. God designed the church for us as followers of Jesus to be the place where we could find strength and where we could also find comfort. We recognize the assembling together of believers is God's design for us to help us grow and to strengthen us and to encourage us, and also so that we can serve the Lord through the church. He built the church so that we could be established according to the gospel. But we also want to understand that we have been given responsibility to utter the mystery of the gospel. And we'll look at that a little bit later. The church is to be the steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to grab a hold of that. God didn't just sort of send a bunch of free agents out there and scatter them to the wind, so to speak, and say, do the best you can. No, he built his church. He gave the church the gospel so the church could then make sure the gospel reaches to the uttermost parts of the world so every nation could hear the gospel. And so we want to understand the wisdom of God in designing that plan so that the work of the ministry could be done. Again, he left the work of the ministry to the church. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but as a member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, you have been called to be a steward of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the one same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. To be a steward is one that's responsible for the possessions of another. Steward would be a steward of a household, would be one that was responsible for carrying on the day-to-day activities of the household, and they would have to give an account. The steward would have to give an account to the owner of the home how they took care of their possessions, how they took care of their home. And so here's what God has said: I'm giving to the church the gospel, and the church is to be a steward of the grace of God, to let the world know about the grace of God, to let the world know about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the church's responsibility to take that gospel message unto the uttermost parts of the world. And as a member of the church, you bear in that responsibility. It is your responsibility as a member of the church to make known the manifold grace of God to the uttermost parts of the world. It's our duty, it's our responsibility, it's our privilege. Think about it today. Think about the message of the grace of God that you possess, that so many in the world don't possess. They have no concept of the grace of God. They have no concept of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Yet you have it. And you're to be a good steward of that. How are you being a steward of the grace of God? How are you sharing the grace of God with others? So we learned in Matthew 16 that he's going to build his church, and then the church is going to take the gospel. But then we also learned in Matthew chapter number 18 that the church is the place for discipleship. And Jesus gets into the details about what do you do if someone is living in sin, and if there's some kind of a situation between two brothers, how do you resolve that? And we learn it's the place where we are to be instructed And as it said there in Matthew 16, go you therefore and teach all nations. And so we understand it is in the church where are we to be instructed, so then we can be discipled. Remember, if we're going to make disciples, we want to understand what a disciple is. A disciple is one who follows the teachings of another. And so teaching is required, but it's also the place, Matthew 18, we find where discipline happens. What happens if there's a disagreement? What happens if you're offended by someone? What should you do if someone offends you? And Matthew 18 goes through that process and tells us about discipline. And so we find out here in Matthew 28 that he's talking about the discipline that takes place. You're going to baptize them. So there's a positive affirmation that happens through baptism in the church. When you're baptized, there's a positive affirmation that the church is saying, we agree that that your profession of faith seems to agree with the Word of God. And then there's the positive affirmation that happens in the Lord's churches when we observe the Lord's Supper and we commune together with Christ through the Lord's Supper. And that's a continuing affirmation of the profession of faith. But what Matthew 18 teaches us is that there's also the place where negative, I don't want to say affirmation, but there's a way that we are disciplined in a negative way through rebuke. And then lastly, Matthew 18 teaches us that it's the place where excommunication takes place. And that's where the church comes together and says, we can no longer agree that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. We can no longer affirm that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we have to remove you from the membership of the church. I don't know if you realize this or not, but one of the things that happens if you become an inactive member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, that's essentially what you're inactive, which means we can't affirm by the life that you're living that you are a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. But that's what the book of Matthew teaches us. That's why, as Marky read earlier in John 20, 21 through 23, remember Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's the responsibility of the church. We are to say, based upon your profession of faith, we think your sins have been forgiven. But then there may come a time that we can say, now we can't really affirm that any longer. That's to take place in a church. That's the discipline of the church. And so we want to think about that. The church is the place where all of this discipline takes place that encourages us to follow Christ wholeheartedly. And then sometimes somebody needs to, in terms that Mom used to use, Mom used to tell me, I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail. You know, sometimes we need spiritually, we need someone to jerk a knot in our tail to enlighten us to the fact that, hey, you know what? I don't really think you're following Jesus the way you should be. All of that takes place in the church. And so this is why Jesus built the church. It's for discipleship. And as we read there in Matthew 28, 18 or 19, go you therefore and teach all nations. So God has this plan for his church to carry on his ministry in his absence. And that's where we're at today. God is building his church, and also God is sustaining his church. Here's what we know. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Here's what we know. The church is going to be present when Jesus returns. There's no doubt about that. And Jesus' presence is going to be with his church until he returns. So how is he doing that? How is he going to make sure that the church is built and the church is sustained? Well, he's been going through the process throughout the centuries, and here we are today, 2,000 years later, and the church is still present because faithful members of churches in years gone by have been faithful to continue to follow the commission and do the work that God has called them to do, and therefore here we are today because of the faithfulness of those in the past. But God had to begin that process of building and sustaining the church. And that's where we get to Matthew 28:16. Verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. So the 11 are informed of the church. And he's You know, they didn't understand the church earlier, but now he's going to put the church into motion. Jesus had told them earlier in Mark 14:28 that he would go to meet them in Galilee. And so they have done that. They've gone to Galilee. And while they're there, they meet him. And when they meet him, it changes their life. If you remember that last week, we talked about how the impact that meeting Jesus has in someone's life. And it tells us there in the text that they worshiped him. And let me tell you this, that's the natural outcome of one who meets Jesus. You don't have to beg someone who's really met Jesus to worship him. You don't have to beg someone who really knows who Jesus is to come in fellowship with other believers. It's the natural outcome. It's what believers want to do. They've seen Jesus and they want to be with him and they want to be with his people. They want to be in his word. They want to fellowship with him in prayer. That's the natural result of one who has truly met Jesus. Someone who doesn't want to worship him, somebody that doesn't want to pray, somebody that doesn't want to be in his word, and somebody doesn't want to, I mean, that, you begin to wonder, why is that? How do you know the Jesus that I know? They worshiped him. Some doubted, it tells us, and even though Jesus had met them multitudes of times, the accounts that we have in the scriptures of Jesus meeting his apostles after the resurrection, it doesn't contain all of them. There are many more. But Jesus is going to inform them of what his mission is for them. And the 11, as it says there, notice they haven't chosen the replace for Judas yet. The 11 are commissioned. They are one body. They are the church. And Jesus is going to he's going to commission them. And he's going to tell them to go into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We think about when Jesus and John the Baptist came on the scene. What did they say? They said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what Jesus preached. That's what John the Baptist preaches. And Jesus said when he was talking to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. So if they preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. What's he talking about? He's talking about the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ when he comes back and sets up his eternal kingdom. That's what he's talking about. And that's what we're pointing people to. We're pointing to the time when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom. And we find that in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to turn back there. We've done that many times. But that's what they're doing. They're talking about the eternal kingdom of Jesus, and that's what the church has been given the ministry of to do, is to minister the mystery of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to the world. It's to let people know that Jesus is coming again to establish righteousness and justice on this earth. You know, in our world today, we look out and we don't see much righteousness. You know, I've been sickened as I see the reports of these stores around the country, and Walmart's in particular, where a group of people have just gone in and they've just looted the place. And that's not justice. That's not right. And then you think about how certain people groups have been treated throughout our history. That's not justice. That's not right. And we look at how people are exploited in our society today. That's not justice and that's not right. But what we can tell people is that there's coming a day when Jesus is going to establish justice and righteousness. There's going to be only righteous in this world. We'll be done with troubles and sorrows. It's all going to be passed away. For the former things are going to be resolved. And we're going to look into a new heaven and a new earth. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are going to become new. And that's the message that we preach. The gospel of the peace of Jesus Christ. That Christ Jesus came into the world to reconcile this world unto himself. To make all things new. And that's the message that Jesus is encouraging his disciples to go and teach. And so we recognize that he's going to build the church through the preaching of the gospel. And the church is going to be sustained. And when Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, it's one thing for us to keep in mind as we're looking forward to the future and we see how things are going on in our society and the wickedness of man is growing. Here's one thing we can know. The church is never going to be defeated. The church is going to continue on because Jesus Christ promised he is going to be with his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Satan is not going to get the victory over the church of Jesus Christ because it is the church of Jesus Christ and he is empowered. It and he is going to sustain it and he is going to be with it until he returns. And we need to be thankful for that. And so Jesus built the church and he built it upon the foundation. Ephesians 2:20 says, and they are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. He's the head of the church. And then he built upon that. He laid the foundation of the apostles and the prophets of the word of God. And he has been building upon the foundation of the apostles. These 11 apostles were the foundation of the church. And Jesus has been building upon that for the last 2,000 years. History teaches us that the church which Jesus built has been present since the days that Jesus walked on this earth. Alexander Campbell, the founder of the Church of Christ, had this to say. From the apostolic age to the present time, the sentiments of the Baptist and the practice of baptism has had a continued chain of advocates and public monuments of their existence in every culture or every century can be produced. John Clark Ridpath had this to say. I believe he was a Methodist. I should not readily admit that there was a Baptist church as far back as AD 100, though without doubt there were Baptists then, as all Christians were then Baptist. My point is this, in using those quotations, the promise that Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world or into the end of the age, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, is this. The promise of Jesus Christ to sustain his church until the end of the age has been kept thus far. And since it has been kept thus far, there is no doubt that it will be kept into the future. And we need to believe that. But it's also important for us as individual members of Emmanuel to realize that you're called upon to help keep that promise. Every time you come into the doors and you assemble together with the other believers of Jesus Christ in Emmanuel Baptist Church, you're helping Jesus sustain that promise. You're helping Jesus be faithful to his word that he's going to sustain his church. And every time we stay away, we're not helping sustain that. So you're called upon to help keep that promise. You're called upon to be active in the Lord's church, building the church of Jesus Christ and helping sustain that church to make sure that tomorrow the church is still here and still present and still active. And not only tomorrow, but in the years to come. You see, we should be building Emmanuel Baptist Church so that when all of us are dead and gone, there's still an Emmanuel Baptist Church to sustain the building of the church as Jesus has commanded us. So we might ask ourselves then, if Jesus is building and sustaining his church, how is the church sustained? Well, Jesus tells them in verse number 18 of Matthew 26, he says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The first thing we want to understand is that the church is sustained through the power of Jesus Christ. All power is given unto him. And he allows the church to use his credentials, to use his power, his authority to go into the world and preach the gospel. It's his authority, it's his power, and he can authorize the church to utilize to do his work. Listen, we go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature because Jesus reigns. Because he's sitting at the right hand of his Father. And because he has empowered us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The gates of hell will not prevail. So we can go into the world and confidently preach the gospel because of the power of Jesus Christ. It's not in our power. It's not in our abilities. It's in the power of God. And we must understand that the work of sustaining the church is not according to our individual power. It is according to the power that Jesus has given us because we are one of his churches that we have the ability to sustain the work of Jesus Christ. The church doesn't have credentials on its own. We as individuals don't have credentials on our own. We are utilizing the credentials of Jesus. And sometimes we can get caught up in all the authority and begin to think that the church is more than it is. But we want to understand the church has no authority on its own. It is only the vehicle through which the authority of Jesus is utilized in this earth to accomplish the work of Jesus. As I was thinking on this and pondering on this today or this week, I was thinking about when does someone give authority or empowerment to someone else? And that person doesn't have any power. They're only utilizing the power that has been invested in them by someone else. And of course, I thought the first thought that came to my mind was the wedding ceremony. The minister will say, by the power invested in me by the state of Kentucky, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You know, when I perform those wedding ceremonies, I don't have the power to say you are legally married on my own, right? The only reason I can pronounce someone man and wife legally is because I have been invested with the power of the state of Kentucky. And the state of Kentucky gives me that power to sign the paper to say that these two are legally married. I don't have that authority on my own. It's because the state of Kentucky has invested that power in me. And so you see, the church doesn't have any power on its own. We are operating under the power of Jesus Christ. And so we understand the first way that the church is sustained is by the power of Jesus Christ. But secondly, it's sustained by the making of disciples. That's what Jesus says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach there is the Greek word which means to teach or to disciple. To go and teach them. Teach them what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Teach them about forgiveness of sins. Teach them, disciple them, but to go. We can't get away from go. Mark 16:15. Go ye therefore. The church will not be sustained if it doesn't go. The church is to go into all the world, beginning in Jerusalem, which is in our county. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We got to begin at home and then we can spread to the uttermost parts of the world. But the church is to go. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the church is to go and teach all nations. That's every people group. There are 17,445 people groups in the world. 7,388 of those are considered unreached with the gospel. That translates into 3.36 billion or 42.4% of the world's population is unreached. Think about that. That means they've never heard the name of Jesus. So if Christ would become at this moment, at least 3.36 billion people will be cast into a lake of fire. And that doesn't include all the people that have heard the gospel and exposed the gospel, but have rejected the gospel. We think, well, why do we need to go? Because 42% of the world's population has never heard. And you know what? We used to think that, well, everybody knows the gospel. Fewer and fewer people today know what the gospel is. And we need to understand the call upon the church to go. And you think, well, what can we do? Just a little church here. What can we do to go into the uttermost parts of the world? Let's remember how many were commissioned. How many received the commission to go? 11. 11 apostles. And Jesus said to those 11, I want you to reach the uttermost parts of the world, to every nation. How are those 11 going to go? The 11 can only go as they multiply, as they expand, as they reach out. That's the only way they can go. Those 11 will never reach the entire world, but through their work, others can be impacted, and through their work, others can be impacted. And as the church multiplies, then the uttermost parts of the world is reached. We want to understand that we cannot make disciples without going. We understand in the book of Acts that it tells us the importance of the church spreading. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what they are called to do, and that's what we are called to do. We want to understand we have a local ministry, but we have a worldwide ministry too. We are to be concerned about those around the world who have not yet heard the gospel, to teach all nations. How is the church going to be sustained? It's going to be sustained through the making, the teaching of disciples. Making disciples of all nations. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you. So the church is going to be a place of teaching. You realize that there's no following Jesus apart from teaching. You want to know why we have Sunday school? Because we want to help you be a follower of Jesus. And it's our responsibility as a church to have Sunday school. And we want to teach you. We want to teach your children when they're young what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we want to teach them about all the stories. And so we want to teach them while they're young. And we want to teach you while you're older, because it requires teaching for you to be a disciple. You want to know why we have first service and second service? It's because there are things we need to teach you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we can't get it all in 1 hour a day, in one sermon. There's lots of things that we need to teach. And that's why we have Wednesday night service, because we can get down on our knees and pray together and say, how can I pray for you today? And then we can walk through a passage of scripture together so that we can learn, because being a disciple requires teaching. And you can't be a follower of Jesus apart from learning. You say, well, I already know it all. I'm sorry to tell you that you do not know it all. We'll only know it. We will only know in part even when we get to heaven. We won't know everything when we get to heaven. See, some people are satisfied. Well, I walked the aisle and I was baptized. And quoting the book, The Mission of the Church, it says, Jesus wants obedient, mature disciples, not just immediate decisions. It's not enough to walk the aisle and shake the preacher's hand and go into the waters of baptism. It requires you to learn to be taught in order to be discipled. Teaching is necessary because the principles which Jesus lays out for his disciples are not according to the natural man. The natural man receives not the things of God. We don't by nature know how to be a follower of Jesus. We have to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we talked about that in our men's Sunday school class today, about fear. What's it mean to have fear, and how we should walk in faith instead of fear. And when we're walking in fear, it's because we have not learned how to walk in faith. And so, you know, that's one of those things it's natural for us to fear. It's not natural for us to have faith. And so we got to learn, and we learn by being taught what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You see, being a disciple of Jesus and one that observes all things is to remember that being a follower of Jesus will require self-denial. It will require cross-bearing. It will require laying aside treasure on this earth to seek heavenly treasure. It requires all of those things. And Jesus is saying, you go and teach all nations and teach them what it means to be a disciple. The church is to go and to make disciples. And that's the way the church is going to be sustained. not turn to Mark, but Mark says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, I've already mentioned this, but it says go. How are we going as a church? How are you going as an individual member of Jesus, member of Emmanuel Baptist Church? Remember, we are to be stewards of the mystery of the gospel. How are you being a good steward of the mystery of the gospel? To every creature. I'm going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 24, and read for you quickly. Verse 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Here is the other thing that we see about the church and the gospel and the commission, that the work of the church is to be rooted in the gospel or in the scriptures, as he tells them in verse 44. All things that were written of me might be fulfilled that was written in the law of Moses and the Psalms. All of what we do is to be rooted in the scripture. Then we understand that part of going is to preach repentance and remission of sins preached in my name among all nations. You see, going and teaching and making disciples is about teaching repentance of sin, repentance and remission of sin. We understand there is no salvation apart from those things. It is to take place in all nations. And Jesus says, and you are witnesses of these things. As I was going over my notes this morning, I was thinking about that. Jesus is telling these apostles, those who had witnessed my life and witnessed my resurrection, he said, you're going to be a witness of the things that you have seen and heard. And later on, when they told the apostles not to preach any longer, they said, hey, we can only speak those things which we have seen and heard. So they continued to be witnesses. But I want you to think about this. A witness, what does a witness do? A witness testifies to certain events. Have you ever seen a silent witness? A witness is called to the witness stand, and they've been an eyewitness to a situation. And what happens if they sit there in silent? They're not, are they? A witness testifies to the events, right? Well, listen, Jesus said you're to be witnesses of these things. We are to be a witness of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are to be a witness of all that Jesus Christ has fulfilled in His Word. We cannot be a witness if we are silent. It takes the speaking of words to teach. It takes the speaking of words to testify. We want to understand it is the witness of individuals who make up the church, which is used by God to draw His people to Christ. We cannot be silent. We have to speak the words of Christ if we are going to fulfill. But once again, he says, the promise of the Father is coming. And we read that already. Jesus said that I'm going to empower you later on. And that happens in the book of Acts. The gospel shows us the commission to reach the nations, and the book of Acts explains to us how they did. And we want to remember that's what a disciple does. A disciple witnesses. So we saw that the church is going to be sustained by the power of God. It's going to be sustained by making disciples. And thirdly, back in our text in Matthew 28, it is sustained by the presence of Jesus. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That presence of Jesus was given to the church when it was empowered on the day of Pentecost. Jesus came down and appeared to them as flaming tongues, and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The presence of Jesus came upon the assembly. In the book of Revelation, where do we see Jesus? Early in the book of Revelation, it says Revelation 2:1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Those seven golden candlesticks are representative of the seven churches of Asia. And where is Jesus? Jesus is in the midst of them. He's preparing to return. He returns in Revelation 4. So in Revelation 2 and 3, when they're speaking to the seven churches, where is Jesus? In the midst of his churches. What do we see from that? From the time that Jesus empowered the church in the book of Acts until he returns, Jesus is in the presence of his churches. Where is he today? In the presence of his churches. Listen, you ought to be able to see him today. You ought to be able to know that he's here today because he's with his church. And as I pondered on this week, I thought about, in the scripture, what do we find happening in the presence of Jesus? I thought about that ship and the winds were blowing and the waves were crashing and Jesus is down in the hull of the ship asleep. And they come down and say, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? And why are you so fearful? And he walked out and said, peace, be still. In the presence of Jesus, the ship wouldn't sink. Which means to me, in the presence of Jesus, we're not going to be defeated as a church. The scripture tells us, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence was the power to turn water into wine, to give sight to the blind, the raising of the dead. On the road to Emmaus, those two on the road to Emmaus, their heart was warmed. You get my point. In the presence of Jesus, the presence of Jesus impacts someone's life. And I think that if you come and are active and dedicate yourself to the church, and you are active and you are about fulfilling the commission, the presence of Jesus being here will impact your life. If you can come to the church and are a member of the church and you're not impacted by it, that might say something about you. It might say something about where your heart is. Because when Jesus is present, people are impacted. And so we understand that Jesus, the presence of Jesus, is with his church. And we want to understand that the church could not be sustained without the presence of Jesus. That was true in the first century, and it's true today. It's true for us as Emmanuel. We cannot be sustained as a church without the presence of Jesus. And so the disciples were required to go. They were to be active in sustaining the work of Jesus in his absence. And we must ask ourselves, what are we doing to sustain the work of Jesus Christ? How long are we to continue to do the work of Christ until the end of the age or to the end of the world? Jesus is saying, I'm going to be here doing my work until the end of the age. How long should we be willing and doing his work until the end of the age? And we know that it's not possible for us to do that work ourselves, but we must invest in others so that others might be able to sustain that work. I mean, the commission, really, there's not anything great to the commission. It's simple. It's easy for us to understand. Jesus tells the church, go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe all things, and remember, I'm with you. There's nothing really too difficult to understand there. But we need to think about our place in that puzzle. We need to think about our place and what we should be doing. You see, we need to think about we're in his church doing his work. God has provided salvation. He has chosen the means to deliver that message, and the church is that means. And so we need to be active in the church. And as members of the church, we need to think about how the opportunity that we have to make an impact in someone's life for eternity. Everyone wants their life to matter. They want it. And so if you really want your life to matter, get involved in the church. Get involved in the ministry of the church. And then you can matter because you'll make an impact in someone's life for eternity. We can impact our community. You can impact your family. You can leave a legacy for your family forever. A legacy of faithfulness to God. It's the power and the authority of Jesus Christ that enables us to do so. But as I think about going, I know that's my greatest weakness. The thing I mourn about more than anything in my ministry is the lack of outreach. I know I need to. I know souls are dying, but it's just not always easy to go. And I don't have any trouble going like this week. I was every day at the hospital. I didn't have any trouble going to the hospital and knocking on the doors and praying and all of that kind of thing. But sometimes I don't feel like I reach out enough with the gospel. So here's what I've been thinking about. I bought some new tracks. How about let's commit to passing out one track this week? Just one. How many of us will volunteer to just take one track to share with someone? You see, one aspect of being an obedient disciple is being involved in the fulfilling of the commission. And if I'm not being active in the fulfilling of the commission, then I'm really not being an obedient disciple. So we can be confident that the power of God is present with us to accomplish His purpose. Why can we know that? Because He said that He would be. So let's think about going. Let's think about the ways that we can reach out to others. Let's maybe share just one track this week. And next week we'll take another track. And then soon those 200 tracks will be gone. But reach out to others. So we're going to come to the close of the book of Matthew. We've studied all that Jesus has fulfilled. We've learned how to be disciples. We've realized the importance of the church. Now the question is, are you His disciple? Have you followed Him in repentance and remission of sin? Have you been baptized? Have you been added to the church? Are you being faithful to your commitment to the church? Are you actively participating in fulfilling the commission? All of these are things that we should ask ourselves and answer and wonder how the message of fulfilled as it has been proclaimed has impacted us in our walk with Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and we pray You add Your blessings to Your word. Most importantly, we thank You for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.